Today is December 2nd, year 2007. It's the first Sunday in Advent. And we're going to talk about Jesus Christ telling us to look forward to his second coming, not just to celebrate his first coming. Because Christmas represents our Lord Jesus Christ's first coming when he came to redeem mankind and to suffer and die upon the cross. But as I tell all the people too, we're now at the verge of the second coming of Jesus Christ, in which he tells us to always look forward to that. Even when he ascended into heaven, he told the apostles to always be watching for these days. He wants the people to always be prepared for the fact that the end of the world could come at any time when the certain prophecies are fulfilled, and that when that happens, Jesus Christ is then going to come not as a suffering servant, but as a conquering king, in which he's going to destroy all the evildoers over the whole face of the earth, and he's going to save his elect, and then he's going to also save the earth too and recreate it into a paradise that's beyond our imagination. He speaks about in Isaiah. He says this new paradise which he will create is you're gonna have the lion laying next to the lamb. They're both gonna eat straw, so there's no more killing on his holy mountain. And he talks about St. John talks about the heavenly Jerusalem coming down from heaven and landing upon a new earth which God will recreate. And at that point, heaven and earth will be united together in a way that we can't even understand or contemplate, where you can be able to transverse between both of these places. It's going to be heaven and earth united, and you're going to be able to, even now the saints who are in heaven come down to this ugly earth to help us. And they transport that quickly from one place to another upon earth to help us. But Jesus wants us to concentrate on the fact that, yeah, his first coming was for redemption, to suffer and die so that we can have a chance to enter heaven if we obey his commandments, if we become Catholics and we die as good Catholics. That's what his suffering on the cross did. It redeemed us. It forgave our sins. But it has not yet redeemed the world. Our flesh, too, is still in the dominion of the devil. It's under concupiscence. We have the venom of original sin in our flesh. Our bodies are still corruptible. Now, a Catholic who's in a state of grace, his soul is absolutely pure and holy and worthy of heaven, but his body is still under the curse of concupiscence. And that's why all of us must die in our bodies. But if you end up saving your soul in the end, on the general judgment, Jesus Christ then puts your body back on you. You get your body back. And if you're in heaven, it's a glorified body, which is beyond anything we can think of. These bodies, you can pass through walls, you can transport from one place to another very quickly. Your thoughts are much clearer and sharper and all this, because your body's not weighing you down. Now, of course, if you're amongst the damned human beings, they also get their bodies back, but their bodies are still loaded down with all their concupiscences and evils and wickedness, and their body then becomes a double source of torture. They're already being tortured in hell now, and their souls, because even fallen angels are suffering in hell by the hellfire. It's a real fire, though, that acts upon their soul. It's not a imaginary fire. It's a real fire, and it acts upon their soul, and it causes them great torments. The damned humans that are in hell right now, like Father Wickens, who's one of them, he's down there right now. But they're not all. Here's another thing we'll talk about in a second, but he's down there burning. But when these people, the general judgment comes, and they get their bodies back, they're going to then be burning not only in soul but in body also. Now, some people are saying, is the devil always burning in hellfires in such extreme agony? Not always, because he has to come upon the face of the earth to do his plots, to plot his wickedness and his evil. If he was in such great agony, he would not even be able to plot and think straight to be able to get these conspiracies on the earth moving so he can bring Antichrist to power. To bring Antichrist to power, he has to use his mind, he has to use his abilities and powers to be able to get these things done. So he's not always suffering. I had a dream once when God had brought me down to hell, and I was talking to people down there. I didn't know it was hell even, you know. But I knew these people were damn hellish people, because the way they were acting, they were blaspheming the Holy Eucharist, they were making mock, they were horrible people. And I says, who are these people in here? And one person looked very sad, and I says, why are you so sad? What's happening? He says, this is hell. We're in hell. And I says, well, how come all these people are happy and they're all over here looking, they're partying and they're goofing around? He says, yeah, because it's not our time yet to be totally suffering. It was giving the devil the power to be able to go up on the earth and plot and plan. So he's not always under the extreme agony of hellfire. That's why in the end it says, if you're reading the scriptures, when the devil finally gets defeated in the final battle, which Christ will then throw everyone, seals down hell forever, then they're burning forever in hellfire with everlasting pain. Even now, God will strike them with that pain. That's when we do our exorcism prayer every first Saturday of the month. That devil is getting tormented by hellfire. God throws him down there and punishes him. I always say to this, I say, you dirty devils, get a little foretaste of what you're going to experience forever. And I ask God, may he experience a pain during this exorcism prayer greater than any pain he's ever experienced before. And every time we do another exorcism prayer, maybe even greater than the pain he felt the last time. So he may understand just what awaits him. And he already knows, because God, so they're burning on and off. They'll punish him with fire. They mess around with us. They get punished with fire. And it causes deterrence, too. They back off. They're afraid. They know when they go at you, they're going to be punished. But if God lets the devil go at you, he's still going to go at you. That's how much he hates you. He hates you so much in God that he will take anything God gives him. As you teach, the devil is nothing more than a dog on a leash when it comes to God. God, as much as the leash that God gives him, the devil, believe me, takes it. He'll take every bit of that leash up, and he'll come at you. He'll come at you. But God punishes him every time he strikes his faithful chosen people. And he even protects pagans. If God didn't protect the pagan right now, we never heard of him, that pagan would be dead. Right now, he'd be dead. The devil's will be to kill all these people because they're not in a state of grace and send them to hell. So even the people that aren't Catholic throughout the whole world, the very fact that they're still living is God's great mercy. And he is protecting them even though they don't know him. Because if the devil could, he would kill everybody who's not in a state of grace at this very moment to bring them into hell. So people know the ultimate power, the ultimate person, the only person you really should fear is God. When you get close to God and you realize the power of God and you understand that God controls and rules everything, he's the only one you should fear. And I tell people all the time, it's the Catholic God. But the devil, nevertheless, he's on a leash and he can only go as far as God lets him. Sometimes God will say, you can only let you go as far as throw a pebble at Rich and hit him with a pebble in his head. He'll do it. He'll throw a pebble at you. If he could just make you stub your toe, he'll do it. He'll do whatever he could do. He'll do anything he can do to get you. The devil is a very malicious and evil entity. And the damn humans, too, once they end up in hell, they're on earth causing trouble, too. And that's what a lot of people, when they watch these ghost movies and they glorify them like as if ghosts are good things, and they go to divination, they go to these people that muster up the dead spirits and they want to talk to their dead people, those are demons out of hell. Only in rare cases does God allow an evil person like a witch to summon a holy man from the dead, such as when the witch of Endor summoned up the holy prophet Samuel. And in this case, Samuel condemned Saul, who had him summoned. Hence, in almost every case, you have two choices when those things really take place and you do see people come back from the other world. It's either a devil pretending to be somebody you knew, or it's the actual damned human being. Like Father Wickens, I told you in that sermon, I have no doubt he was up here harassing me for a while. Himself, even. I can imagine JP2 is up here doing a lot of work now. Apostate anti-pope John Paul II. He's as evil as Lucifer. He's in the deepest pit of hell right now, John Paul II. And he's up here like Judas, doing a lot of work on earth. So now my point is that with this suffering situation, and that's why even Jesus, what happened when he was casting the demons out of the possessed man and they went into the pigs? And they were saying, what is this Son of Man that you should torment us before our time? At least let us go into the pigs, but don't send us back down to hell to burn. See, because he knows that God punishes them off and on to keep them, just to punish them. And to say, hey, put them back down there, let them burn. Now they can come back up and they're not suffering so much. So when they're on earth and they're possessing human beings and they're possessing animals, and that's what they do, the demons and the damn humans look at human bodies as homes. And they speak to one and say, I'm looking for a home. Have you found a home yet? They don't like to wander outside of a human body or an animal body. They like to be inside the body, and they can operate through that body and create all kinds of mischief. Now, we know that when Jesus cast the demons out of that particular individual, where they went into 3,000 swine or pigs, right? There was at least 3,000 devils in that guy. 3,000. Now, one other scripture verse, I think, says there was actually two guys there, but one apostle only mentions the one guy. But either way, then you have 1,500 devils in one guy. That's a lot. It was just proving the fact of demonic possession and all that. So these devils are in there, and the damn humans are in your soul operating and working to bring the Antichrist to power. So the devil, when you read the Protocols of Zion, that's a master plan straight out of hell. You can't be so suffering. The devil can't be so suffering all the time, so he can't carry out his plans. But when we do our exorcism prayers, and any time the devil tempts you during the day and you do an exorcism prayer, God will zap him. God will hurt him big time. Those are the true weapons. There's no weapon on earth that any human scientist or human being come up with that can hurt a devil. Only God's power can do that. All the weapons, even if God decides to come down here and and turn deactivate a nuclear bomb or turn it back on the head of the sender. God can do it just like that. God, by his mere thought, he could obliterate that weapon. So God's always the one that you got to fear. God is the one who has all the power. You know, and now what we're talking about here was the idea to get back in circle on the second coming of Christ. We're going to get back into that also. The idea on getting ready for the second coming of Christ has to do with what we're talking about here. If before Christ comes the second time, you need to have the reign of the Antichrist. The devil's going to succeed in his plots and plans throughout the whole world. And that's exactly what the devil is doing. If anybody looks at the world the way it is today, you can see we're on the verge of a one-world government, a one-world order. And that one-world order is going to be the one-world order of the Antichrist, not of the Christ. There's really only two kingdoms you serve anyway. It's either Christ or Satan. We Catholics also support a one-world government and a one-world order. That's our goal. But that one-world government and one-world order is Catholicism with Christ, Almighty God himself, is the king. The order they're bringing in today is the one-world order of Satan. Remember, Satan offered Christ all the kingdoms in the world? And grace be God from me, Satan. God allowed Satan to have power in this world because it's the punishment we all human beings deserve because we followed him. So Satan does have dominion over the world because God respects free will. He doesn't violate it. And because most people want to follow Satan, God goes, he's all yours. You want him, he's yours. You go and see what type of utopia and paradise he's going to create for you. What kind of utopia and paradise do we have today with all the modern technology? It's chaos out there. You get one big snowstorm even, and with all the technology we can, it paralyzes any city. One hurricane like we did down there in the Katrina paralyzed all Louisiana and created a great panic. If God just threw two or three of those hurricanes on the United States at one time, the United States is going to be economically devastated, and then she's going to be ready to be plundered and pillaged. That's going to happen. You're going to see the United States fall. So God is the ultimate one who's the victor. So I want the people today, especially during these Advent seasons, Jesus Christ is teaching us, yes, Advent and this season is a twofold purpose, to celebrate our Lord's first coming and to look forward to his second coming. Nobody likes that second part. They don't want to think about the second coming. They don't want to think about the end of the world. They don't want to think about the reign of the Antichrist. They don't want to think about the fact that most of the world is going to be destroyed. But who are these people that think like that? These are the people that are in love of the world, the flesh, and the devil. They don't love the true God. Because God tells us, look up to heaven, your redemption in his hand when the second coming comes. All evil shall be wiped away from the face of the earth, and it shall never be spoken of again. It shall never exist in the presence of God's holy people anymore. And God will come and recreate a paradise that's beyond your imagination and give you eternal life. So what is it? You're worried about that? The only reason you got to be worried about that is because you're not on his right side. You're on his left side like a goat, and you're on the road to hell. How could you love this passing world, this evil, wicked, passing world, in which you know you're even going to die? But those are the people who don't want to talk about the second coming. Those are the people who don't like it when we talk about the end of the world, and then we talk about the Antichrist, and we talk about conspiracies. And apostate anti-Pope John Paul II, and the apostate Second Vatican Council Church, which is the Church of the False Prophets, job was to make people believe in this false peace, this false paradise, this one-world government of Satan, this utopia, in which they're going to bring peace to the world without the need of destroying it, where we can have all these different religions living in peace and harmony. How could the one true God, who is the Catholic God, allow a world to exist in peace, in which they worship strange gods, false gods, which we know all the false gods are devils. King David says it in Psalm 95:5, the gods of the Gentiles are devils. Psalm 95:5. St. Paul even says that in 1 Corinthians 10:20-21. He says, that which a heathen sacrifice, they sacrifice unto devils and not unto God. JP2 is saying, I want peace in a world in which devils reign. I want to have devils living next to angels in peace. Devils who hate God. Devils who want to kill and murder and annihilate and cause chaos. By their very nature, anybody who rebels against God is a destroyer, is a chaotic person, is a person that hates peace. So how can you have peace with these people and peace with these false gods? That's what the false prophet JP2 had done. He was a false prophet, and we're waiting for the false prophet to come. It could be apostate anti-pope Benedict XVI. It could be the next one. It's going to be one of the pretend popes of the Vatican II Church. It's going to be the false prophet, and then he's going to hand over his total allegiance to the Antichrist when he reigns in Jerusalem. Now, these are the days that we're looking forward to. So I want people, especially during this Advent period of time, to concentrate on the second coming of Jesus Christ, as well as his first coming. Don't ignore, it's like a lot of people always talk about Christ's mercy, but they forget his justice. They always like to talk about the people that are saved and go to heaven, But they always forget the fact that God said, however, most people go to hell. Matthew 7:13-14, Matthew 20:16, where our Lord talks about very few people being saved. Very few. Luke 18:8, where he says, when the Son of Man comes, think he'll find anybody on earth who's faithful at all. These are the days, folks, we're living in. So you better get rid of your fear of you not thinking about the second coming isn't going to prevent it from happening. That's like a guy who goes to a doctor and the doctor tells him he has cancer. And because he doesn't want to believe he has cancer, he refuses to believe it. So he goes home and pretends for a couple months that he didn't hear what the doctor said. Well, he can get away with that for a while, but pretty soon that cancer is going to creep up on him and he ain't going to be able to ignore it. It's the same thing with the second coming. It's the same thing with your death, people out there. Whenever you die, you're going to die one day. You can't escape that. So start thinking about these things and fear the true God. Look at what the Catholic God teaches about these final days. Stop listening to what the world, the multimedia is teaching you out there. It's controlled by the Jews. The Jews who are the number one enemies in the world today and the most powerful enemies of God. Jesus prophesied that. He said in John 5:43, the apostate Jews are going to accept another one who comes in his own name as the Messiah instead of him. They don't believe Jesus is God, so who are they waiting for? They control the world now and everything you're being taught on TV. Unless you start listening to what we're telling you and understanding that you've been lied to for all these years, that's the only way the Antichrist comes to power. His innate nature is to lie. He tells a few truths to make you believe him, then he throws big lies in there. And you're going to be seeing in the future very shortly on my website, I'm going to have conspiracy links over there and political links teaching people on what they should do to expose these conspiracies. Because when Catholics are evangelizing the world and teaching people, it's a two-fold job. The job is not just to present the truth to the Catholic God and the Catholic Church, but to expose the conspirators that are lying against the Catholic God. If you can crack that shell out there on the people and show them that the TV, the multimedia, the major networks have been lying to you about A, B, and C, and D, so you can show them that these Jews have been lying and crack their confidence so they don't trust these people anymore, we can have a door open and show them what the truth is. But people are really strange a lot of times because if they really love this wicked world, they don't care. They really don't care if someone lied. They want to really actually be lied to. It says the wicked man likes wicked men. The wicked man praises wicked men. And they like liars because they're all liars. And so the guy says, I know the Jews are lying, but I don't care because I like the world they created. They've given me a good job. They've given me a lot of money. They've given me a nice job at the university or in the company where I'm working. I'm living a luxurious life. They're patting my pockets. They're allowing me to commit all kinds of sins against the flesh without any penalties or punishments. I like it. Because really, there's no excuse for people even now not to know that what they're looking on TV is full of lies. But there are some people out there who are of goodwill. We don't know who they are. God knows who they are. They might not even be of goodwill today, but they will be of goodwill next month. They can have ultimately goodwill and sooner or later wake up. Our job is to try to get to those people and show them that they've been lied to. That right now, for Jesus Christ, before he says, that's why he's telling us today in the Gospels, when the fig tree is ripe, look for the second coming. Ripe, how do you know when the second coming of Jesus Christ is at hand? When he says all these prophecies are taking place, they've all been fulfilled. I'm not going to discuss them here now. I've done that before. All the prophecies are fulfilled. All these things are happening. We're on the verge of the total one world order of Satan, which is going to take place in Jerusalem when they rebuild the temple and put the Antichrist in there. That's why the Jews are pushing the Palestinians out of there, and all these dumb Christian Zionists believe it's the will of God that these apostate Jews should believe in there because they're misinterpreting the Old Testament verses. And that's a curse. They deserve to be cursed like that because they don't believe the Catholic Church is the new Jerusalem. And Catholics are the new Israelites. There's only one covenant. Those Jews over there right now in Israel don't belong over there. That's the Catholic Church's teaching. The Catholic God, Jesus Christ, said, you shall not have a homeland until you say, blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord, and accept Jesus Christ. They don't deserve to be in Israel. Catholic theology says, you can put whoever else you want in there, although God at times doesn't even let Catholics totally dominate, because Catholics were bad too, and he didn't let them hold Jerusalem either. But one thing's for sure, God forbid the Jews to return to Israel until they become Catholic. But at the same time, Jesus told us in the final days there's going to be an abomination of desolation in a place where it does not belong, and that is apostate Israel right now in the Middle East. They don't belong there. Now, you get some of these Christian Zionists who are telling you Israel should dominate the whole area. These guys are really bad. Blinded as anything. And they're called Christians. How could you support these people that are denying Christ? They're not preparing the road for Christ. They're paving the road for the Antichrist. These guys are getting sucked in by them. By listening to these people. Now, you have other people that say, I support a two-state solution for Israel and Palestine. That's not correct neither. Because according to Catholic dogma, according to the Catholic God, he says, you don't belong there. Now, the Catholics really don't, and I say this many times, in the end, this Jerusalem ultimately belongs to Catholic Jews. Catholic Jews. And it will return to them. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is going to be there, and Catholic Jews. But only God's faithful chosen people really deserve to be in Jerusalem. And if you're not good Catholics, even Catholics weren't able to take and hold Jerusalem, although we do have some holy sites in there, because we were, the history of Catholicism is just like the history of Judaism in the Old Covenant era. Catholics are mostly bad during the New Covenant era. There have been mostly bad popes and mostly bad kings. So we've been punished too. But it's definitely fact that God, you can even read the history. Every time the Jews tried to rebuild the temple, God created a fire under the earth so they couldn't even work on it. And all kinds of calamities and catastrophes happened in the past when they tried to rebuild the temple. But now they're succeeding because now is the time of the Antichrist. Now is the time in which God has given the power to have this abomination of desolation in a place where it doesn't belong. Now, the two-state solution, coming from a person who knows nothing about theology, you would at least say, well, they're trying to be at least fair from the natural plane. Well, let's give the Palestinians the states and the Jews the states. So they're not as bad as the Christian Zionists and the Zionists who want to have the Jews control all of Israel and knock the Palestinians out and reoccupy all the areas that God had originally given them. But what these Jews are trying to say, or what these Christian Zionists and the Zionists say, after all, did not God give the Jews the promised land? Yeah, he did. And they occupied it with Joshua. But did he ever take it away from them? What did our Lord tell Moses? He says, a blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, a curse if you obey not the commandments of the Lord your God which I show you today. Then he goes into a list of the curses that will befall the Jews when they don't obey God's commandments. They will go into exile. They will fall by the sword. They will eat their own children. They will be subject to famine. They will be subject to plague. There will be a scourge into which every nation God has cast them out. And the Christian Zionists ignore those passages. When they had to go into Babylonian and Syrian exile, when God destroyed the temple, the first temple, and then destroyed the second temple. Who did that? How come the Jews had no right to the land during the 70-year exile? Until God said, you've done enough penance under the Persians who came to power and then sent them back and they reoccupied Israel again. So these Christian Zionists ignore all that. They think by the mere fact, just because you're a Jew, you have a right to the land. No, you don't. No, you don't. Jesus said only faithful Jews who are good Jews have the right to the land. Even though, let's say you were a faithful Jew and you didn't bring an idolatry into the land, but you committed sins of immorality, adultery, lying, stealing, murder, God will cast you out of the land. So he casts out his chosen people who fall away from the faith, and he casts out his chosen people who are still faithful but are bad because they're immoral. And he casts them out of the land. And he's done it. Now, during the New Covenant era, there's only one covenant. There's only one chosen people. Remember St. Paul said there's no more Jew nor Gentile. You're all one in Christ Jesus. That's Catholicism. Catholics are God's only chosen people. These Jews that are all there in Israel today are bastards. They are disobedient, unfaithful Jews. They're apostates. They don't accept Jesus Christ. But the Zionists would have you believe that they're blessed. When even in the Old Covenant era, most of the times they weren't blessed because they rebelled against God. Were the Jews blessed that Moses killed at the bottom of Mount Sinai? Moses killed 23,000 Jews. There you have good Jews killing bad Jews. And Moses was the forerunner of all the prophets, and all the good Jews in the Old Testament were really Catholics. They didn't even know it. They were paving the road for Catholicism. They were paving the road for the Redeemer. They were paving the road for Jesus Christ, for Christianity. So we read in Acts 11, 16 or 26, it was Antioch that they were first called Christians. So under the New Covenant era, God's chosen people have a new name, a new home. Their new name is Catholic. It's no longer Israelites. Their new home is Rome. It's no longer in Jerusalem. That's what all the Pope says. We are the new Jerusalem. We are the new Israelites. We are the true Jews, Catholics. These people that are over there today are absolute total rebels against God. They're under a double curse from God, a triple curse. Not only are they under a curse because they're apostates worshiping false gods because they didn't accept Jesus Christ and the Holy Trinity, they're immoral, and they're also guilty of the blood of Christ. Yet, We would have these Zionists say that God blesses them and loves them. He loves everybody. That's another issue. I don't want to get into that. He does love everybody. He wants everybody to be, but he abhors them at the same time. He abhors them and hates their ways because they're obstinate sinners and they're on the road to damnation. They're idol worshippers. They're not God's chosen people. They don't belong there. The hypocrisy is that these Jews got these Christian Zionists doing all their dirty work, and they're going to kill these Christian Zionists when they're done using them like cannon fodder. And use them just like cannon. Right now they're rewarding them with a lot of money because they're doing the dirty work for the Jew. These stupid idiots. They're next to these people that don't even believe in Jesus Christ, and they're saying they're God's chosen people, and they're actually our elder brothers in faith, and we look up to them. You look up to a person that denies the very existence of the religion you profess to believe in. You see how God has punished these Jews, Christian Zionists, these Protestants? Protestants are punished one way or another. The Christian Zionists are being punished in this way. Because they don't read the Bible in context. They never do. They lie, and they lie, and they lie. I will tell you people, any Protestant who's out there lies. And he knows he's a liar, but he ignores it. He doesn't want to address the lies in his own Bible. So God allowed him to fall under the spell of the apostate Jew. And the apostate Jew is pulling their puppet strings like this guy Hagee. I can see the puppet string of the Jew right behind him, moving in his mouth and making him talk. And how do they move his mouth and make him talk? They give him a lot of money. They support him. They flatter him. They tell him he's like Moses. They make him think he's doing God's work. But is this guy even in the faintest way doing Jesus Christ's work? Even other Protestants who aren't as bad as him can look at him and say, this guy's way off base. Because at least the Protestant says you've got to believe in Jesus to be saved. Because if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you're a son of the devil. He ignores the verses in John 8:44, and Jesus Christ told the unbelieving Jews that your father is Satan and the son of the devil. How can these people be blessed and at the same time be the son of the devil and the father of the lie? Bringing all these lies in. You see, there's a lot of things we're going to be reading. I'm just giving you an introductory sermon here. We're going to be doing in-depth tapes on Christian Zionism, on Zionism. We're going to have conspiracy sites. Just look forward to this now. This upcoming year, we're going to start stepping up on these things. And I'm going to tell you that anybody who just does not preach that there are conspiracies out there is a liar himself and cannot be saved. Because that's part of the gospel. Part of preaching the word is exposing the plots and ploys of the devil. And then tell it, that's part of the truth. You got to tell the people out there that here's where these people are lying. Here's where these people are lying. Here's where, because who could deny that there is a conspiracy to bring to power a one world government? We already have the European Union. We have globalism being talked about. And what a lot of these people don't realize that are involved in this globalism, that they're working for Satan. It's Satan's global empire. You can't sit back and ignore the true God and think you're going to bring peace and prosperity and utopia to the world. I used to think when I was in New Jersey, every time I just drove to work with the traffic and the gas coming out of the car and the beeping horns, and then when it was snowing, I said, this is utopia? No thanks, Lord, I don't want it. This is not utopia. This is a damnable world. With all our technology, even we can't bring a utopia. And God's just trying to prove this world is going to pass away. And so don't listen to these people that are lying out there and trying to pretend to you that we're going to have some type of a peace. They make you not think about the fact that you're going to die and go to your judgment. And worst of all, don't listen to these Protestants who make you think that as long as you believe in Jesus, you're going to go to heaven. That's probably one of the worst things to top it all off, because they think as long as I say I accept Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, I'm going to heaven. That's hogwash. You're going to be very surprised on your judgment day when you find out the Catholic Jesus sent you to hell. That's fact, folks. That's fact. Look at all these Muslims that are blowing themselves up, very confident they're going to go over to the Muslim heaven. They go straight to hell. And the Jews they killed went to hell too. They all went to hell. They're blowing up the Jews in Israel. Muslims and Jews are both going to hell. And that's where they both belong when they die that way. Why? Who are the greatest enemies against the Catholic Church, Jews and Muslims? They've always teamed up against the Catholic Church. And every now and then, when one got more powerful and they feared one another, like the Jews are powerful, now the Muslims are afraid of the Jews, and now they're punishing one another. So God's ways are all just. Even over there, what's happening is just. You know, I'm not overly sympathetic with the Muslims, but I will say the Jews are the greatest of the evils. And the Muslims are still evil too, so you want to look at this in one just way. You Muslims are first going to get annihilated. And this may help you convert, and I do believe that. We're going to get conversions of Muslims, quite a few, because their bubble is being burst. Their religious utopia is being burst. And it may cause some of them to take a second look, especially when the Catholic God gives us miracles. They're going to look to us. And then once the Muslims are going to be wiped out, then so are the Jews. And Christ is going to be the one who does that when he comes the second time. He's going to cast apostate Jews. He's going to destroy apostate Israel. He's going to destroy that temple. And then the new Jerusalem is going to come down from heaven. Remember, folks, what I'm telling you, a couple of key scriptures you can know by. That it's the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven that was not built by human hands, which means it was built by angels. And that one is the one that you've got to look forward to. It even says in Matthew 24:27, when the Son of Man comes, he's going to be like lightning from the east to the west, lighting up the whole sky that quick. Antichrist is not going to, he's going to come about by, first of all, political means, because he's going to have his people have the temple built. But when he does come to power, though, he is going to do. He's not going to be that quick like lightning from the east to the west, but he is going to do miracles. Those so-called miracles are going to be tricks, and it's going to be very powerful stuff he can do. I know what the devil can do, and Antichrist is going to have the power of the devil in him, the full power of the devil to do many things that appear to be miracles. So this sermon here is to get you people to think about this season, not just the first coming and of Jesus Christ, but also to think about the second coming and everything it entails, which means conspiracies, the reign of the Antichrist, the fact that most people are going to be damned and go to hell, the fact that when God allows the Antichrist to destroy a third, another third of the world, that most people are going to still curse him and not accept him. Please do not be one of those people. Because if you are, if you die that way, you're in damnation. And all you people that are listening to out there almost now that are in damnation now. But if you're of goodwill, I hope you are. That's why I'm telling you what to look for. Look to my website alone. I will give you the full truth. There are other conspiracy things that people are out there that you can look at that are good. I'm going to show you where to go for those, to show you how the Jew lies. But you cannot get the whole picture as to why everything is happening, what is the reason why it's happening, and put all the pieces of the puzzle together unless you're a faithful and a good Catholic. And that's what we're doing on my website. All right? And if anybody's afraid about the way I talk, he's too harsh, he's too much of a bully, the way he talks and all that, tough. You're an effeminate coward, I'll say it 1,000 times. You look what God does to people when he punches. You think I'm tough? You ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till you see when God roars from the mountain. When Jesus Christ comes the second time and says, everyone's going to be crawling in a rock hiding from the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. You're going to thank God I spoke to you like this and warned you ahead of time. Amen. I can't even speak as much as I would like to because I don't have it within me. I like to get up on that mountain right across just from there. It's called Turtle Mountain. It looks like Mount Zion right out there in front of my window right here. I like to get on top of that mountain and roar out to the whole world that all you bastards are in damnation and you better listen to the true God before it's too late. With as much strength as I could, even if took the last drop of blood out of me. That's how righteously angry I am. That's how righteously angry God is at this blaspheming world that has blasphemed his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. Christ gets blasphemed, Mary gets blasphemed, the Catholics sit back and go, oh, who cares? Freedom of speech, they're allowed to say whatever they want. Oh, but look what happened in Sudan just this week, which is a predominantly Muslim country. There was a school teacher over there that in her class she had a teddy bear and she named the teddy bear Mohammed. The Muslims went wild worldwide. They protested, flooded things in, said, another attack against the Prophet Muhammad. She lost her job, was put in jail for 14 days, and she's got to go back to England. Simply because she named the teddy bear Muhammad. See how these Muslims are zealous for their God? And their God is a false God. Their God is the devil. The Muslims are zealous for their false God. Us Catholics have the one true God, and when he's blasphemed, we sit back and give the God a right to do it. Free speech. He's allowed to do whatever he wants. You know, they said two crimes that were guilty of death in the Catholic state were blasphemy and idolatry. Now people sit back and don't even worry about it. Oh, you have a right to your own opinion. That's blasphemy against the true God. You see how the world community is afraid of the Muslims because they know if they all get together and rise up, they're going to cause some chaos? Do you realize if all the Catholics got together in the world, they're not Catholic. They're all fallen away Catholics. But even if the self-professed Catholics got together and raised up against one act of blasphemy in New York, that would stop. It really would. They're going to say, we can't put all these so-called Catholics in jail. Right now, how many so-called Catholics? I mean, they're not Catholics, but I say so-called. Nominal Catholics. In the United States, how many do you think there are? Several millions in the United States. What happens if they all came to New York when that one guy did the blasphemous of our Blessed Mother and our Lord and surrounded the museum and said, we're not leaving here till you get rid of that statue. And then if they don't do it, you break the window. And pull down the statue and destroy it. Throw us all in jail. Isn't that what the black people did for the civil rights when they marched down south? How come the Catholic people don't get angry when God's blasphemed? How come they don't stand up for the true God? Because they're a bunch of effeminate mushies who fell in love with the world, and they bought the world. They bought the devil. They bought the flesh. They hate the true God. That's why they hate the way I speak. That's why they hate the way I talk. You think you're ever going to change the way I talk? You better forget it. You want to go out there with your effeminate mushy priests who get up in the pulpit every time and talk to you about lovey-dovey, nice little things, but aren't attacking the real sores and sins of the world and attacking the evildoers and speaking out with righteous anger? These are phony, baloney hirelings that don't want to lose their comfortable positions in their jobs. They don't want to lose their donations from the people in their flock. They don't want to irritate them too much or they're going to lose their comfortable jobs. So anyway, up in the future, you're going to, as you know, I speak about these things anyway. We're going to even step it up a little more. We're going to start getting links on my website dealing with conspiracies to expose the particular and specific lies of the Jews and the Freemasons who are working for the Jews in the press. And we're going to also have a political link on there to let you know how to vote for the lesser of two evils and rules in which you've got to follow in that manner. So my advice, and it's Jesus' advice in today's gospel, look forward to the second coming, which means hell and brimstone. I think St. Peter said in 2 Peter 3:10, he says, the Son of Man shall come like a thief, and the heavens shall pass away with great violence, and the elements shall be melted with a great heat, and the earth and the works that are in it shall be burnt up. So be ready for these things. And before that happens, you're going to have the false utopian peace of the Antichrist. And that's what we're looking at now. So don't let nobody tell you that this is a great day. It's the most evil of all days. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.